All right, 7:15 now. Tommy Tucker, WWL. A beautiful day ahead, a beautiful weekend ahead. Really nice fall weather. Highs today of only 65, and that's going to be later on today, like toward the end of the day. So it's going to feel really cool before that. The high temperature is going to be around 3 o'clock. Then if you look at tomorrow, highs of only 64, again around 3 o'clock. Tomorrow high is going to be about 68, then 76 Sunday, 79 Monday. It warms. Cools a little bit by Tuesday, Thanksgiving Day as it stands now. Looking a little bit warm, highs near 80, cloudy too, and then on another front comes through and it cools off by Friday and next weekend to the mid-50s. Eugene Green joins us right now, New Orleans City Council member. Morning, Councilman. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing? And good morning to your listeners.
Thanks for taking the time with us. Unfortunately, there's some violence in the city. You want to start with the second line shooting? And for people to me, Eugene, and I'll say this, that say, you know, our second line's inherently dangerous, to think that you're going to stop doing this because some thugs, some knuckleheads, some assassins, however you want to look at it, fire indiscriminately in a crowd. That, to me, is giving up and waving the white flag, and that's the last thing you want to do. Your thoughts?
Well, Tommy, unfortunately, just yesterday there was a shooting involving some thugs who got out of a vehicle, and they're in the middle of the French Quarter, so you wouldn't close the French Quarter because you have these people who have no regard for lives, no regard for themselves, who hate themselves, and who always are inclined to violence. I was at that second line, and I actually attend a number of second lines. The Eric Paulson second line, for example, the Frankie Beverly second line, and many of the other second lines, the other organizations where the people just look forward to a day where they can do as on Sunday, have an opportunity to go through neighborhoods and see people. I was at a place where traditionally families gather and presented a proclamation on behalf of the city to the participants in the second line because it was so much an important part of that particular community, the Ninth Ward, the Desire, Florida community, and everyone was having a fine time. The weather was fine. The police were where they needed to be. They were before, during, and after the second line, and they were on the sides. They were talking to people. The people who committed that violence were just hell-bent on committing some sort of violence and getting some sort of revenge or retribution, whatever they were doing that day, and they just decided to do it right there on the spot.
Councilmember,
the people who do that.
Yeah, let me jump in for a second here if I can, because I get texts constantly from people saying, shut down the second lines, do this, do that, and I would bet that they've never been to a second line in their life. And look, I grew up here, lived here all my life, except for working in Vegas for like a year. But I've never been to a second line. So I think sometimes people are commenting on things, with all due respect, that they don't know a whole lot about. So maybe you could tell us what it's like. You've been to so many second lines, what they're like.
Second lines are basically, and I'm going to be as simplistic in my description as possible, they're just parades that don't cost as much and don't take as much to organize, and they go through communities as opposed to on a particular route. There aren't as many bands and floats. There are people walking who are just so happy to be part of a parade. But the most important thing is that they reflect upon a particular theme, and many times that theme is just to celebrate the neighborhoods in which people live. That's what we saw on Sunday past. And guess what? For anybody who wants to know, you can go to WWOZ.org and you can check online and see that every other week there's a second line. There's a second line coming up this Sunday. There were second lines this year, maybe 25 to 30 of them, at which there was no violence. And there was no violence for the last 2 years at second lines. The bottom line is that, yes, you can have a good time. But it also is important to recognize and be realistic. There are some people who have given second line such a bad name because they have shootings and they happen to be at open events. For example, we know that there was a Mother's Day second line shooting in 2018, and there have been others. But the bottom line is that there are tens to hundreds of thousands of people who participate in the second lines that take place all year round and have been taking place for many years. And there aren't incidents of violence. The Ninth Ward second line, the nine-time second line, this was their 26th second line, so they really don't have a tradition of violence. There's no violence committed by those who are in the second line. There's always somebody on the outlying areas who is just kind of inclined to violence, and they see an opportunity to take it. Look, there are some people who just hate to see other people having a good time. Mm-hmm. And the one thing about the second line is that you're right there on the streets. You're next to people. You're seeing them have a good time. If you're just so mean and ornery that you want to take it out on somebody else, the problem is that a second line is a great time to do so because everybody's having a good time.
Let me take a break, Councilman. Easy on that other radio station website, all right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm looking at it, and they got all kind of second lines. They got one coming up, the Lady and Men Buck Jumpers Second Line Parade Sunday. They got one coming up on December 1st, two of them on December 1st, December 8th, 15th, et cetera. And you can go to WWOZ.org and check that out. Look up Taking It to the Streets, and you can find out where they all are. We'll talk about the French Quarter shooting when we come back with Councilmember Eugene Green, 721 Traffic Now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Eugene Green, New Orleans City Councilmember, about the violence that recently has hit the city's Second Line Parade. Councilman, yesterday, you know, and I know some people like to pick a narrative and then try to find evidence to back it up, but the French Quarter shooting yesterday in front of Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse, this has nothing to do with Dickie Brennan's, and it reminded me of the Sparks Steakhouse assassination that happened in Manhattan years ago, and that was with the New York mob. But in essence, this is, as far as they know, this was a hit, right?
Well, this was basically targeted killings, a targeted shooting, and it resulted in a killing. It's happened so often in the city, and also just in general, that there's so many times that the crimes are committed by someone who knows someone else. And I don't want to jump to conclusions relative to the victim. So I'll say this, at the end of the day, I do express my condolences to the families of the victims. I do want to let, of course, everyone know what we have in the back of our mind is that it's not random. I just want everybody to emphasize that we should not alter our patterns in life because we think that, okay, we can't walk across the street from Dickie Brennan's. You can. We're going to try to do everything that we can. But society has to take a look at who is committing these crimes, and the punishment has to be significant in advance of some of these crimes. And I think that we'll look at it and we'll see it was, again, somebody who was on some ankle bracelet or somebody who was in the system many times. I'm not going to jump to conclusions because we'll come to that point where we get there, when we get there. But I hope that we don't find the usual, that it was somebody who people should have known was going to be committing that type of crime, you know?
And along those lines, I'm glad you kind of cleaned that up, because in no way did I mean to say that the person that was the victim deserved it or anything like that. That's not what I was saying at all. What I was saying is it was a targeted shooting. It wasn't some kind of random mass shooting or something like that. And that's, as far as they know, it was the same thing with the Second Line Parade, right? Because it gets reported as a mass shooting. And to the people around the nation, it sounds like, oh, somebody opened fire with a gun indiscriminately. And while in a way they did, that's not what prompted the whole thing. Accurate?
Yes, a mass shooting is four people getting shot. The bottom line is that. So
I'm talking about the connotation of it,
weaponry. Yeah. No. Okay. The bottom line is that, you know, it's a numbers thing in terms of the definition, but the bottom line is that it's not something where random victims are being targeted and that there's a mass shooter taking aim at random victims. The bottom line is that this was a targeted killing. Tommy, I do want to say this, that sure. In the city of New Orleans, we have significant problems with violence, but we also have hundreds of thousands of people who would have no inclination to commit violence at all. Yesterday was ironic that we got the message about the mass shooting while we're approving a budget that is supporting youth, that is supporting trauma recovery, that is supporting mental health first aid availability, that is providing resources for jobs that aren't even filled because we have so many jobs. There's just no reason for people to be committing any sort of the crimes that we see right now. We even have that violence interruption process as part of our budget. The bottom line is that the perpetrators of these crimes are people who hate themselves, who hate other human beings, and when they're caught, they need to be punished accordingly. When you put on masks and you get in a car and you go into a crowded area, you see your target and you're just going to decide to shoot anyway, no matter whether there are children around, there are elderly people, there are tourists around. When you are found, the punishment must be so severe that others will get the message that this is not a good thing to do.
And you for doggone sure can't get out on the street and do the same thing. Not you, Councilman, you know what I'm saying. Thank you, sir. Have a nice Thanksgiving. I appreciate your time.
All right, happy Thanksgiving to all, and thank you for this opportunity.
You bet. Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member. It's Friday. We'll help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, when we come back. And the question that I posed this morning at 504-260-1870, the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 61st anniversary of the Kennedy assassination that happened on a Friday in 1963. Do you think it was Lee Harvey Oswald that acted alone? And I always thought that there was some kind of conspiracy until what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. And that just changed everything for me, because I was thinking, if that can happen in 2024, in 1963, they were publishing the routes of the presidential motorcade. He was in there without a top or anything else. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that Lee Harvey Oswald could have done that. But tell me what you think. I don't know anybody will really ever know. 504-260-1870. 7:30, time for WWL First News. 7:47, 13 till 8. We missed him, but Mark Rose is back in the saddle, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Good to have you back, Mark Rosa. How you doing?
Happy chilly morning to you.
Yes, sir. Nowhere near as chilly as where you're coming from, but it's still better than 80 degrees, right?
You bet. Absolutely.
Mark was traveling, saw some snow, actually, so good for him. Let's talk about, I know you heard John Oldsheimer yesterday, big fan of his, as am I, and the information that he...
Yes.
And let me just recap real quick, Mark. For those of you that didn't hear the information we had from John Oldsheimer yesterday, you go to WWL.com. Tim, the audio is posted, right? If they click on my name, Tommy Tucker, they find the audio, or you can download the Odyssey app and use the rewind. Well, yeah, you can still use the rewind feature for that to find out everything you need to know about credit. But that being said, Mark, the floor is yours.
Tom, you know, I could always learn from him. I'm in the business 40 years, and I'm surrounded by things that are finance and credit, of course, just being in banking. But, always learning from him, because some of that stuff changes over time, and how they're reporting information, how they're tracking information. And so I listen to him very intently. But as far as practicing what I preach, preaching to people that, look, you got to know what's on your credit bureau, because all of a sudden you want to do something and you're stopped. Oh, I didn't get hired for that job, or I'm paying too much for insurance, and I don't know. They just gave me a bill and I'm paying it, but it could be significantly less. And it was made higher by maybe something that was on my credit report. I was looking in a folder I keep in my computer. It was before COVID the last time I checked my credit bureau. I don't think that's a good idea. I should be checking it more often than that. But now, as maybe some of our listeners are remembering, I said I sold my house in Mandeville in September and have property now in Covington. Well, those, especially those larger transactions in your life, you want accuracy there. You certainly don't want a balance to be left on your credit bureau if you don't owe anybody for a particular thing. And you want all that stuff cleared out. You just want accuracy. So the next time you go to do something, the person that's, or the institution that's pulling your credit report gets all that they need, gets everything accurate, gets your employment information. You know, who pulled your credit reports? They got a score that's an accurate score. They see your trade lines, all the things that you work so diligently to maintain through life. You want all that just to be in an accurate form and fashion. So I looked at the annual credit. I have it on my computer right now, annualcreditreport.com. And that's what the site that he's always saying. It's the only one. It's absolutely free, and it's authorized by federal law. And what I've done, I've pulled my bureau, I print it to a PDF, and I keep it in a folder on my computer. Because, again, I just want that recordation maintained, and I want to be able to see what people are saying about me. Because it could have a Mark Rosa in Oregon that doesn't keep his credit very well. And in years past, it's a very rare thing now for something to bleed over to another person's credit report. But it happens. And I've seen people many times, just to being in banking, somebody's like, "Well, we went down to a dealership. We're coming to you for financing. We've got the perfect car. We picked it out. It's the right color. I mean, we're just ecstatic about it." So says a couple. And then the credit report comes out. It's like, "Oh, you have some major trade lines here that are reporting very damaging information. So we need to put that car finance on hold until we better understand what this is." And somebody, I've seen somebody, "That's not me. You know, this bled over some kind of way. It's on my credit report, and that's not me. I've never had an account with, name somebody. Bank America, I've never had that, so I didn't default on anything." Well, it's sufficiently large that I can't move forward. From a risk mitigation standpoint, I have to stop and, you know, it just kind of takes the wind out of what they're trying to do in their life, and it could have been an error on their report. So that, you know, that needs to all be cleared out. As far as employers, Tommy, especially in highly regulated industries, finance is one. And we pull a credit report each time somebody is coming to work for us. I know the larger box banks, speaking of the Bank of America's, of the Chase's, Citigroup's, they are very they get into your credit report in a very specific way. If there's anything on there at all, what's this, you know, $39 collection account from a doctor's office 5 years ago? You need to tell me what this is. Why is it on your bureau? I mean, they get down to the nitty gritty on that, but it's all about, from a regulatory standpoint, some of these industries, and again, finance being one, you have to, the company has to show due diligence to say you're trying to mitigate risk. And if somebody is coming in and their credit is a mess, the idea is, well, you're under a lot of credit pressure, and could there be some, you know, hanky panky if you're playing with money all day long? So all of those things will add up from a credit report to lenders, insurance companies, to landlords. If you're going to rent an apartment, employers, like I just described, utility companies, other businesses, so many want to see a credit bureau from a person, and they want it to be very telling to say, well, if you've minded your business and you keep everything straight, it's going to say that. And that's good news. Thumbs up. If something else is on there that you maybe need to take care of, well, that's what we need to do in advance of applying for a new job, in advance of trying to buy a new car, home purchases, anything consequential. You want to know what's on your bureau before someone else knows what's on your bureau.
Makes every bit of sense, Mark. And also, if you will, talk about the calculators at jeffersonfinancial.org. If people are looking for something to do this weekend, maybe contemplating a big purchase, they got a lot of stuff there, and it's absolutely free.
It is absolutely free. We have several calculators on jeffersonfinancial.org site. And it's, guys, if you all talk about contemplating a purchase or doing something big in your life, and it doesn't have to be big, but especially if it's big, I need to pull my credit report this morning and save it so I have a fresh one. Do that on for yourself. And also, if you're going on the site and trying to finance something, there are just a plethora of calculators there from a saving standpoint, investing. And a bunch that really gets some activity on it is anytime you want to borrow money, not just from Jefferson Financial. They're free and open to the public, and that's what we want them there, for everybody to be able to use it. You don't have to log in. You don't have to create a password, all those types of things. You could just use it to the extent that you want and see what financing is, or especially what's going on right now. If people are trying to refinance higher interest rate debt, and bring it down to lower interest rates, you could see what difference that would make if it's a credit card, if it's a consumer loan, a car loan, if it's a house loan. All of those things could be, you'll see it again before you move into talking to a loan officer. You'll have that information in hand.
Mark, real quick, you're a lender and we got to go here, but I'm just thinking, if you go to annualcreditreport.com and pull it yourself, that's a soft pull. Could you take that with you when you go to get something financed, at least to prevent a hard pull? Ooh.
You could. I don't know if every lender would accept that you're walking in with something from the outside.
But I'm saying,
so they might have to pull it.
Generally,
yeah. It would be a conversation piece. At least you can set it in front of somebody and say, look, this is what my credit is.
Given this, how could you help me with?
That's right.
And it would prevent the hard pull. I just thought of that. Thank you, Mark Rosa. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday as we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. 7:55 traffic now on WWL.